You're listening to The Writer's Voice on the Virginia Voice, and for this edition of The Writer's Voice, I'm Lou Dean. In just a moment, you'll be hearing from Howard Owen. Howard is no stranger to the Virginia Voice. Perhaps you heard him talk about his book, Little John, a few years back, and more recently about two of his Willie Black novels, Oregon Hill and The Philadelphia Quarry. Howard has been on the sports desk. He's been a sports editor of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. He's worked for the Fredericksburg Freelance Star as an editor and, for a while, editorial page editor for the Freelance Star. Mm-hmm. Howard is now retired. And I've asked Howard to join us because his last four novels take place right here in Richmond. They describe places you know and have been to. They feature Willie Black, a reporter for an unnamed Richmond newspaper. Mm-hmm. And even with the disclaimer that all characters are fictitious and any resemblance to real persons living or dead are coincidental, you may experience a twinge of recognition here and there. Howard, you have written many novels, but what was the inspiration for reporter Willie Black set right here in Richmond?
Well, my first nine novels were what you would call literary fiction. And then in 2009, I was offered the opportunity to write a short story. It was there was a collection called Richmond Noir, a collection of detective noir short stories set in different real neighborhoods in Richmond. I was asked to do one on in the area of Monroe Park, which was perfect because we lived at the Presswood, which overlooks Monroe Park, for 6 years. So I started writing the story. I'd never written a detective story of any kind before. But I realized early on that my guy was going to be a night police reporter rather than a detective because I knew what night police reporters did. And so I made up this character of Willie Black. And I tried to, you want your protagonist to have stuff to struggle against. And so I gave Willie a drinking problem. He's been divorced three times. He was raised by a single mother as a mixed-race kid in Oregon Hill, which, as Willie said, was white as rice when he was growing up. And as I was writing this short story, after I wrote it, I realized that I could use this character for a book or two. And I liked his voice. I liked writing in the first person, and I liked writing in Willie's voice. He's very irreverent, a little salty at times. But he, I thought I could use him for a while, and I have. The bottom is the fourth one of the Willie Black series. The fifth one, Grace, will come out in October, and I finished the sixth one, which is tentatively called The Devil's Triangle, which should come out in 2017. The Devil's Triangle was they don't call it that now, but it's over where the New Buddies is. Over a little bit west of a boulevard, over there are several restaurants there. Now there used to be three eateries there that drew the attention of the cops a lot. There are a lot of I guess what you'd call biker bars. They became kind of infamous and became known as the Devil's Triangle.
Well, when you mentioned that, I don't want to get you off topic. When you mentioned the Devil's Triangle, one of your books was the Philadelphia Quarry, and people say that's in Richmond.
I
didn't know that the Philadelphia Quarry was somewhere behind Windsor Farms.
Yeah, you could live here your whole life and not know it was there. I was fascinated with it when we lived in the Presswood. There were people there, I mean, who knew about it. There were a couple of people there who were members and invited us over a time or two. It was started in the, I believe, in the 1930s. It was an abandoned stone quarry over near the James River on the backside of Windsor Farms. And it was it's a swimming hole. But one of our neighbors at the Presswood said it was the most exclusive club in Richmond. A very small number of members there, and it's just a nice little quarry there. It's a great place to go on a hot summer day. It's a good place to set a murder mystery.
So when you talk about Philadelphia Quarry, it's Richmond. When you talk about Devil's Triangle, it's Richmond.
Yeah.
And the bottom, which is out now, you talk about Texas Beach. Well, you think, we're not talking about Texas. We're talking about something at the end of Texas Street.
Yeah. Well, and Oregon Hill. They call it Oregon Hill because when they first built, and it was pretty far away from what was in Richmond, and people said you might as well be moving to Oregon. That's why they call it Oregon Hill.
Things we find out by reading these books about about Richmond that you have written. You mentioned how Willie Black started in the 13th floor. It was part of a collection, but Willie didn't have a full blown family at that time. All the background that you finally created in the first full novel, Oregon Hill.
Right.
How did that come about? You had to give him a full family, a whole background from the time he was born until present day.
Well, that's part of the fun of it. I mean, making up, I've always felt like the more stuff you build into a novel before you write it, the better the novel will be. I always try to come up with more background, more characters than I can even use in there, because people's lives are like that. I mean, I wanted Willie to have his old buddies from Oregon Hill. I wanted to have his family, his three ex-wives, his newspaper companions, the people who lived at the Presswood with him, his connections with the police, plus, you know, the occasional odd character like Awesome Dude, who he just knows because he Awesome Dude hangs out on the street and Willie gives him a dollar once in a while. So you've got, I have to keep from book to book now, I have to keep a cast of characters there, because I'll lose touch, or I'll forget something about some character.
When they have a TV drama, a serial, they have to keep track of everything they've ever said so that they don't contradict themselves.
Yeah, you don't want to do something, you don't want somebody to have red hair in the third book who had blonde hair in the first one, and it's the trickiest part of it. The best part of having a series like this is you build so much texture into it that there's always somebody there who you can plug in when you need somebody to do something. Like in Parker Field, I wanted to set something based around an old Richmond baseball team, and I realized that Willie's mother's boyfriend had been a minor league catcher for the old Richmond V's. So it was perfect. I already had somebody there that logically could be plugged into that story.
One of the joys I get in reading your, up till now, four Willie Black stories, you have a fifth coming out and a sixth in the works, but it is the, you mentioned the Presswood and all these other places in Richmond. I made a list. Read some of the, just the places you reference that people will recognize.
Well, Main Street Station, the Science Museum, Penny Lane Pub, which is right near the newspaper, so it's a good place to go after work. Maymont, Presswood, the Presswood who is not the Presswood, even though it looks like it is, it's a Presswood. Havana 59 down in the bottom, which is has a role in the bottom in the most recent novel. There's Texas Beach, which is a great place to go to cool off on a summer day if you can't get into the Philadelphia Quarry. And just tons of them. Short Pump. I don't do much with Short Pump. Actually, I've tried to stay within the city of Richmond as much as I can. But that abandoned Churchill train tunnel plays a role in the bottom. Also, that's always fascinated me, that the fact that an entire locomotive and several cars of a train are buried forever underneath Churchill in a train tunnel that collapsed sometime back in the 20s or 30s.
When I worked for WRVA, part of our history was on Churchill, not quite above that train tunnel, but very, very close to both ends of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew the story, but I wonder how many other people did.
Yeah, and you used to be able to go into the tunnel from the east side and wander in there for a little ways. I don't know whether you can now or not. I know that Mark Holmberg did that on more than one occasion when he was doing columns for the Times-Dispatch. But you got, I mean, all of some of my favorite eateries around town, too. You know, obviously Cuba Cuba, Buzz and Ned's, definitely Mama Zoo, which is one of Willie's favorite places. Joe's Inn. I actually meet a group of us meet every Saturday morning at Joe's Inn and try to get the big table in the back. And so I have Willie and his old buddies in Oregon Hill going there on Sunday mornings.
These are all places Richmonders will recognize. Probably they've been to most of these places.
You would think so. If you'd been around here for a while, you definitely would have.
Now, both Willie and you have worked for the newspapers. Newspapers have changed, and you make a point of this in all of your Willie Black books.
Yeah. Willie's a little bit of a throwback there. I mean, he doesn't really care that the world has gone digital. It makes him mad because he just wants to go out and get the story and see it in the next day's paper. He doesn't adjust to change very well. He's probably lucky to still have a job, but all he ever wanted to do was just go out and dig up the truth and report on it. And all of this stuff that the suits do to him and his compatriots just makes him mad.
A couple of times in various of the four Willie Black novels so far, Willie one-ups the top brass.
Well,
he gets something on them that makes them a little more kind to him.
Yeah, he does. He's good enough at his job to keep his job, and he also knows where all the bodies are buried, and some of them have been buried by some of the people he works for.
You talk through Willie Black, but Howard, you've been in the newspaper business a long time, doing various jobs. Give us a little insight into the newspaper business. Where are we today? It's certainly in the digital world not the same as it's been.
Well, I think I read the other day there's fewer than half the newsroom people at daily newspapers now than there were in 2006. It keeps dropping off all the time. I know there are a lot of websites now that are doing some good reporting, but I don't think that if you're a crooked politician or a shady business person, this is a good time for you. Because there aren't nearly as many people watching what you're doing. It's a lot easier to get away with bad stuff now than it was 10 years ago.
I'm asking a dangerous question, but is it that the bean counters are running the business?
Well, sure. I mean, a lot of papers are parts of corporations, and they're more loyal to their stockholders than they are their readers. I think that's the worst thing that's happened to newspapers in general. I'm generalizing. It's not like that everywhere. But in general, newspapers are more answerable to the stockholders than they are to the people who read the paper who need to be told the truth.
Can it be a downward spiral in that if they lay off people, fewer people will read the newspaper? They lay off more employees because fewer people are reading?
No, it definitely is. It's been going like that for a long time. Even things like the size, the actual physical size of newspapers. At some point, somebody figured that if you cut an inch off the width of the pages, you could save a lot of money a year because newsprint is expensive. And so they could start whittling and whittling and whittling. If you buy a newspaper now if you go and find an old newspaper now from the 1960s, you can barely stretch your arms wide enough to open it. We're so used to this small paper, but there are fewer pages, smaller staff, and every time that 1 month's profits aren't up to snuff, you cut a little more, and it does become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
What about in the digital world, where it seems papers give away their news on the internet instead of charging for it?
Well, that's a sore point of Willie's. Willie bitches about this all the time. It is. Sometime in the 90s, I guess, newspapers decided, well, other people are going to steal our content and put it on the web anyway, so we're going to have to put it on there. And since they're not charging, we won't be able to charge for it. And so they did this, and it's very difficult now to get people to pay for something they've been getting for free for a long time. I heard this years ago, and I don't know whether the math still works for this or not. But what I heard once upon a time was if you could get readers to pay about one-fourth as much for a digital paper as they're paying for print paper, you could afford staff and everything else.
Without advertisers or with the same?
Well, that's the thing. You still have to have advertisers there. But you've got, if you don't have newsprint, which is maybe the biggest cost newspapers have, and you don't have distribution. You've taken away a lot of the money that it costs to put out a paper.
A lot of the expense.
Yeah,
you're hearing from Howard Owen, who has written quite a number of books. The last four that he has written have to do with Willie Black, set right here in Richmond, Virginia. Willie is a reporter for an unnamed Richmond newspaper. You have the book with you, Howard. Can you read a portion of it just to give people the flavor of not only Willie but the area?
Okay, what I'm going to read here is from this part is about the publisher of the paper has met an unfortunate demise involving the Segway, which neither Willie nor I can quite understand what the point of the Segway ever was anyway.
You talk about the hazard of getting on and off of it.
Oh, yes, yeah, definitely.
We'll hear it. Go ahead.
Okay,
In the segment you are about to read, you refer to Wheely, who at this moment is the acting publisher of the newspaper.
I've got a meeting with the suits, Wheely says. I'll check with you when I get back in 2 hours if I'm lucky. I remind him that he is a suit now. He gives me a dirty look, then glances at his watch, curses, and scurries for the elevator. Wheely's a busy man these days. He's filling 2 seats, at least until corporate finds somebody to replace Grubby. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention, Grubby's dead. The publisher and I had our problems, but like those 4 girls, who were murdered, by the way, and that's what the book is about, Grubby didn't deserve the demise he met. Death by Segway, good Lord. Why do we even have Segways? They seem worthless to me, equally useless on streets and sidewalks, to say nothing of being just a tad dangerous. I vaguely remember them being foisted upon us as the biggest thing since dental floss, but I have not seen the light. When the company CEO drove one off a cliff and got his butt killed 3 years ago, that kind of sealed the deal for me. When I see a cop or some other public servant riding one of them because he has to, I can read the little thought balloon over his head. I look like an asshole. Maybe it's a West Coast thing. I don't know. I just know we're shy of publisher right now because of them. Chip Groom saw the whole thing. James H. Grubbs himself was the one who told Wheely to be sure we had a photographer on the scene, and Grooms drew the short straw. It was supposed to be a, quote, bonding experience. Grubby organized it. The idea was to get city and county officials together, along with area big shots, a group into which Grubby self-qualified himself, to do something, quote, fun. The hope was that the city and county people, whose cooperation skills are on the Sunni-Shiite level, would have a kumbaya moment and realize we all really can get along. As if. In a state where cities aren't part of counties and can't annex any of that yuppie rich suburban land, localities don't have to get along, and so they don't, enthusiastically. In the end, the only bonding that got done was Grubby bonding with the GRTC No. 11 bus on his way from the capital of Mosby Court. They did it down in Shaco Bottom. Groom said he overheard the instructions the Segway master gave beforehand to the assembled officials. They could have stressed the danger a little more clearly, he told us, but where's the fun in that? The big thing the Segway guy emphasized, and maybe Grubby didn't hear it because he was busy trying to be our region's catalyst, maybe breaking up a fist fight between a county commissioner and a city councilwoman, was the part about getting on and off the contraptions. You have to do your dismount by grabbing the vertical bar with both hands. If you only hold it with one hand and hold on to the handlebar with the other, as conditioning and common sense might indicate you should, then you put one foot on the ground, the thing behaves more or less like a bucking bronco, dragging you around in circles until you fall free or just fall. Grubby, who employed the proscribed one-foot-at-a-time method, just fell. It was, Groom said, kind of like those deals where the captain gets thrown overboard and the unmanned boat does endless 360s, coming back to the same spot to terrorize the poor sap floundering in the water. Grubby was run over by his own Segway. That wasn't the bad part, though. In an effort to get out of the way of the relentless, swirling dervish, he rolled out into Main Street just as No. 11 was making its half-hourly appearance. If the bus had only been on time, Grubby would still be with us, Mark Bayer observed. What, Enos Jackson wondered, are the odds of a city bus being on time? It wasn't pretty. I'm fairly sure that Grubby's untimely demise won't make the city and county folks work together any better than they did before, even though everyone said all the right things afterward. Grubby was not a bad man. He never fired me, despite the many opportunities I gave him. My main sorrow is that he devoted all that brain power to the gods of corporate skullduggery instead of remaining an honest newspaper man, which is what he used to be. It turned out Grubby had very little family, just a mother out in the Midwest somewhere. As is our wont in Virginia, we probably will erect a historical marker somewhere, probably not mentioning the Segway incident. And so Wheely, who admits that he is, quote, not cut out for this kind of crap, unquote, is now thrust into the role. Well, not thrust. He could have said no. But Wheely, though he's still a newspaper man, worries me sometimes. He could be turned, I think, if the paycheck was big enough. Most of us could.
You're hearing Howard Olin reading from his current book, The Bottom, which deals with Willie Black, a newspaper reporter. In the segment you just read, you talked about the lack of county cooperation. But there are other things. You talked about some mayor's security detail in relation to the chief of police, the corporate masters with more manners than brains.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of local references that people can get from seeing this book. You mentioned another book coming out in October.
Yes, the next one will be called Grace. A lot of it is set on and around that street, which goes from one end of Richmond to the other. It gets broken up several times. It's like a severed snake. You know, you go through the city and it gets broken up by Shaco Bottom and gets broken up by the state capitol and the downtown expressway and several other things. But it goes by a lot of Richmond's history. But there's also a storefront minister involved here, and so hence the Grace. Grace has more than one meaning in the book.
These books are available on audiobook, and we'll be able to tell you where those books are available. We hope to make them available on the Virginia Voice. One question before you leave. Willie Black, in all those novels so far, Willie Black always seems to get in personal peril just before the end of the book. What's with this guy?
Well, you got to have some excitement in there. You got to have a little suspense. Willie probably has more things happen to him than the average night cops reporter does in real life. But night police reporters are right there when crime happens. I mean, they're right in the middle of it. If you're a night cops reporter and you have a curiosity about things, you're going to find yourself in the middle of a lot of dangerous situations.
Howard Owen is with us. Howard is the author of quite a number of books, the current one being The Bottom, but four of them dealing with Willie Black, a reporter for a Richmond newspaper. You're listening to The Writer's Voice on the Virginia Voice, and for the Virginia Voice, I'm Lou Dean.